administrative costs and distribute them according to the other, I think you used the word silos, fire, parks, rec, and community center are all lumped into one? That's what I'm not clear on.
So parks is going to remain its own department. Fire is going to remain its own department. And then you're going to have community center, and recreation is going to be its own department. And administrative and fixed costs are going to be allocated amongst those three departments now.
And that's going to be based on actual time and expenses?
Correct.
Okay. Well, that'll be interesting, because it would be nice to know how much of our admin is spent in each department. Some of the stuff, like on the fixed costs, our dam fees is just going to have to go directly into parks. It's just where it belongs.
Yeah, additionally,
you also mentioned that there wasn't a lot of recreation programs in the parks. I was just curious, are the field rentals, those aren't considered rec programs?
No, those go into the parks currently.
Right.
And so he's
right.
Going to continue. So those are through an MOU, and those are actually being handled by the park superintendent.
And they're all being
right.
Redone.
But they're all being redone.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I'm in support of this. I just I'm not happy about how things flip-flop through the years, because it does make it very difficult to get any type of historical trends when you can't tease the data apart.
I certainly,
that's my only reservation.
I certainly agree with that. The trouble
but
is...
But I'm in support of it. Those are my only questions.
Thank you. And the reason that I'm doing this with Christina is because I am very uncomfortable with what I found, and some of the things I found that escaped the notice of the last two general managers. But with Christina and the team, we are determining all of those things, finding out where it is. It will be, you know, we will be audit proof by the time we get done. And the only way to really satisfy getting our reputation back is to have effectively a distributed cost study to the extent we can as a practical matter. Can't do it as precise as some other businesses, at least the first time. But with the distributed cost, you know, if somebody wants to come in and say, well, what did this really cost us? Well, this is what this set of services cost us. What did parks really cost us? This is the total park budget. This is how it works. This is their fixed cost. Rec and community center were established by the bond and have requirements and no money. So we're getting a little bit of the property tax allowance. And I would note that there are a number of rec tax units, rather of our tax units, that are designated rec only, that have never been sent out and given to rec. So to the extent we can clean it up as much as possible, we will this year. But it will continue to be refined, and it will be better even next year.
So, Alan, are you're going to have the employees actually track their time on as to like their tasks and how much time they spent on, you know, the administrative staff on fire and parks and community center and rec? So that's how you're going to track it.
At this point in the year, you know, you can't do that kind of cost because, you know, most of the year's gone. But we have a very good sense of what the percentages are. And, you know, like I said, you know, 1-2% for me is LLADs. CC&Rs, I spend a fair amount of time on that, unfortunately. but that's 7 to 10%. And then the others, I know. So my time will be divided up that way. Christina's is somewhat easier to allocate. And certainly the two finance, clerk is the wrong name, what do we call them?
They're accounting specialists.
Accounting specialists. We have a very good sense of where they spend their time. So in this first year, it will be by our professional judgment as to how we divide admin up. We will be a little more refined next year.
This year we'll be using what we call vouchers, Monique. So when we build the budget, we'll have to obviously build the budget based on what we think we're going to spend in each one. But as the year goes for 24-25, we will be keeping vouchers of the actual time for each pay period on where our time is going, so we do have that support moving forward.
Okay, so you're going to use your professional opinion now, but next year you're actually going to track hours?
Yes.
No, well, we're not changing anything right now for 23-24. This is moving forward for 24-25. So when you see 24-25's actuals, what we're spending, we're going to be tracking that time.
Good. Okay, so you will be tracking how much time admin is spending on entering park information and entering fire information and so forth.
Yes.
So they'll be based on data, but that's where I'm going with this.
Yes.
Yeah.
They won't.
For me too.
Okay, that's great.
Okay, anything else?
That's all the questions I had.
Okay. I was going to ask this with the check register, but since you brought it up here, since you're redoing the contracting, well, first of all, you mentioned there were some things that we weren't protected, and I was wondering what those were. And the other thing was, I was looking at the check register and the refunds on there, and I was wondering if that was part of what we were going to be redoing.
Yes, it is.
Let's talk about that in the next item.
Okay.
Yes, it is.
On the next one, because that one will fit with our next.
The two of us are very unhappy about that.
Okay.
But, yeah, we'll talk about that when we get up to fees.
But on the, not in my head.
Stuff where we're not covered?
Yeah. For example, we have somebody using our park facilities right now for his private gain, and we're not getting paid. Well, I want to just lock the damn gate until we have an MOU with the person. I'm told that I can't necessarily do that. But I have a policy that tells me I am to collect the direct and indirect costs of activities. Well, his use of those facilities is giving me zero return. So
he's not just using them, he's charging other people to come
in. Yeah, he's making a profit.
He's charging them for things that he's doing at.
So, yeah. You know, for example, you know, I'll talk to Jason about it, but I want to just lock it out until we have an agreement. I don't have a problem with him doing it if we have an agreement and we're getting paid. But I'm not going to finance his business. Well, let's put it this way. You're not going to finance his business.
Right. Okay. Right.
Thank you for that clarification.
Yes. Okay.
So, and one other thing. For park impact and Quimby fees, you have a rule, despite the fact that I can spend $25,000, I can't spend one penny of park or Quimby money without express board approval. And I think the board should allow a certain number to be done so that I don't have to run to the board for every little thing that might be Quimby or park, because there are a number of little projects that we may do where those are appropriate. And you're going to wind up having staff prepare a bunch of stuff and at least one board meeting that really is a waste of time and effort.
Okay.
So I'm ultimately the responsible one, you know, you can pat me on the back or hang me, but that's you know, that's my job. And so I should be allowed some leeway in those two areas. Because everything on that board is going to come to you now. And I would say that, and these things that we've mentioned, almost every one of them is in your 2020 master plan for the parks. There's a couple that are new, but they're small, and they should be within normal discretion, like the boat, well, even the boat launches are in there. But, and one last point is that I don't plan on signing with that architect as of now, because I've called a number of engineering firms that I've done business with in the past and asked them if they do this kind of work. Several of them have said yes, and I asked, do you have a parks architect on staff or that you use if you're doing something like this to help you plan? And they all said yes.
Okay.
And I see no reason to spend our money with somebody where that's included in how the work is normally done. So I am not presently going to sign it.
Okay. All right, so that was what I had. Putting it out to the public, do we have any public comment on the restructuring of the budget? Go ahead.
Bradley Fallon, Cameron Park. Mr. Gardner, you talked about the goal to get Parks and Rec to be self-sufficient, reliant.
With a portion of the property tax that they're allocated, but to make up the rest of what's needed.
Correct, in all areas.
Yes.
You made the comment that once the fire is no longer in the budget, that the Parks and Rec would be self-reliant, or that's the goal, to get them to cover that. My concern is that's making some assumptions that when the board negotiates the annexation, that the board, when the board determines how much percentage of the budget they're going to release to the annexation, what's left is the Parks and Rec.
That's right.
So conceivably, depending on how the board reacts, the Parks and Rec could be solvent.
Let me take that piece first of your question. There was zero funds allocated, planned, or given for the maintenance of this entire complex. None. We have to either have some of that in what we have in the allocation that's left to us, or we have to earn it, and it's not cheap. So I think that with some of these things I'm looking at, there's an opportunity to earn decent money for the district because we don't pay taxes. And for the Summer Spectacular, we're seeing between what we're doing and what it's going to cost us, and with the vendors that we're going to bring in, where we will get a percentage, or we will get either a flat fee or a percentage from them, that we can make a contribution to the deficit before the end of the year, because it'll be on June 22nd. So I understand, and I would hope that LAFCO does its job, which is to ensure that we have the opportunity to be solvent. They're not supposed to approve a divestiture or a separation unless both sides will be. Well, fire, if that is what happens, because there's no guarantee that it will. I mean, the number of people that have to agree to it, this board, their board, LAFCO, and the county board. But if they do, then we, let's say they leave us solvent. Well, what's solvent? It's still not solvent without us earning that money. What I'm saying is, you know, I've been entrepreneurial in my life. I've done successful things. I believe with this team and with the cooperation that I'm getting from the union, which is the first time in my life I've ever had a deal like this, and I'm very happy about it, and I'm very thankful. I think this place can survive and do okay. Because what I've told the county is, you know, if you don't do this right, you're going to have a dependent district in 3 years. And you're going to end up paying for all this stuff anyway. So, you know, leave us in reasonable shape. I mean, the county has already hurt this district substantially by allowing the three biggest, richest subdivisions to go to El Dorado Hills because the contractors wanted the El Dorado Hills name because they could sell the houses for a lot more. And that's true, okay? That is true. But we didn't get any piece of that money. We didn't get any compensation that's long-term out of that. If we had those three subdivisions, I guarantee you today we'd be solvent. Period. And we would probably be able to carry this fire contract for another few years without a problem. But that's how badly they hurt the district by allowing those, by taking those three things away from us. And even in Rasmussen Park, we're not going to get that.
That's right.
That's within our fire, not within our fire district, but within the close, it's so close that we will be the first one.
It's part of the boundary drop is what they call that. It's called the boundary drop.
Okay. We will be the first one that will be responding because we will be closest.
Yeah.
But I'm still not hearing you figure out what percentage is going to go to Parks and Rec and what percentage is going to go to fire.
Because they don't know that yet.
I realize that. What I'm trying to say is my concern is there's going to be a public outcry if the percentages aren't historical. And I say that with the previous distribution of fire versus Parks and Rec from the county. So.
And here's the problem with that. You know, that ignores that two-thirds plus 57 people in this district voted for a third leg. There is a third legal leg now, and that is the Civic Center and Recreation. And it is required that this district find a way to fund it.
And
we got no property tax.
I understand that.
Everybody's come on.
14 years later.
But
you're right.
Instead of trying to sell a fire assessment tax, sell a Parks and Rec Comm Center tax and see how well you can get support for that. That would help fund your community center.
That's right.
Right?
We cannot do a tax before 2026. As the public, you can start a petition with 10% of the registered voters here and start a tax petition and get a special election within 6 months. You can do that. We can't do that. And that right may go away because there are people trying to end that right. But as voters and as residents, you have that right. And by the way, we're not allowed to politic. All we can do is give you the facts as we know them.
And honestly, we're doing our part to try and make up as much of that deficit as we can
without asking
for more money.
I'm not just spelling the staff work and effort, not at all.
I didn't take it that way.
Okay.
We want to avoid asking for more money from the public.
Okay, Barbara? So, if everybody sitting in this room, I probably have the most history and know the most about what's been going on here.
More than all of us put
and
together.
And you have really inherited a mess. And I've told that to Christina. I told it to Dawn, I've told it to everybody here.
I know that.
You inherited from your predecessors what you're dealing with now.
Mm-hmm.
However, I agree with him. To go after a fire tax irks me to no end because I believe you should go to the other side and try the Parks and Rec side, and if you need to, this place has been open for 14 years, Mr. Gardner. I have listened to the same rhetoric, not saying you. We're going to do this, we're going to do that. 14 years and we're still not doing it. I have some ideas I would love to share with you. that I think how we can reach out to the public. I mean, we're the only people that come to your meetings.
Yeah.
You know, I do want to see, I did not vote for this center. However, I do want to see it succeed. You know, I'm a 75-year-old retired person who's working in her retirement. I don't want to pay, I can't afford to pay any more taxes. If we have some sort of an assessment here, I will sell my condo and I will move out to Cameron Park. Because, I mean, when is enough enough?
Well, let me say to you, I'm not looking at a tax that we initiate because I don't believe anything we put out would pass at this point. I just don't think that's true.
I think you're right.
But if we, it, you know, and if fire goes, it may not, but if it does, we can get a reasonable base, and it's my job to do the rest for you. And I believe we can with the team we have. We will need to expand it, but I've got 16 people doing the work of 25. Okay? I mean, this is the second 15-hour day I've had in a row. And I don't particularly like days that long. You know, you get tired. But I believe this is possible to do. I have a clear vision with this team on how to do it. I will need the board's support to do it. And not all of them may agree with all of this, but my job is to make it work.
I know.
The board is the board. They get the policy decisions, they get to divide stuff, but they don't get to manage. That's my job. Whether I succeed or not depends on my team and the support, and why we're doing so much outreach with my new rec person, who is doing a wonderful job with that, and who has experience as a volunteer coordinator. So, I mean, I want the dang community involved because we can't do it with 16 people. You know, the Summer Spectacular is going to have 50 volunteers to be successful. I cannot take an hourly person and have them volunteer. It's illegal. I have to pay them overtime. So the union is bringing in a bunch of people that are outside from the district. And like I said, they're gonna advertise it in five counties. So we're getting support. But this will not succeed without volunteers and other support, but it can. There's a clear path on how this can work.
Well, I wish you the best of luck, Ben. I'm going to tell you, like I said, I've listened to the rhetoric for 20 years. You have board members that have been on this board, not the newer ones, that have heard this stuff for years and have done nothing.
I don't disagree with that.
I know I sound like a broken record, but a lot of people sitting in this room, well, some, Callum for sure, I have been saying this for years, what was going to happen here. Nobody listened. We used to have a huge group. Everybody just said, you people are nuts, and they don't come anymore, you know? And it's really sad. We used to fill that hall out there with people.
But that's
at
why.
Meetings. So I want to support you. I want you to know that. I want to be positive and be part of the solution as a citizen, because we need to do something. Or this place is the whole thing's gonna go under.
Yeah.
If we don't do something.
That's right. And
I got it.
And if we don't comply with the bond, they can take this away and turn it into a homeless shelter. How do you like to have this as the El Dorado County homeless shelter?
It's not outside their own possibility.
Your predecessors were really smart. You see, the first election they had Melrose. Everybody voted it down.
Yeah.
No,
then they came back and go, guess what? We won't have Melrose.
Yeah.
And we promised all this beautiful stuff here.
I would not
There you go.
I would not have offered a bond that did not have maintenance in it.
But
I would not do that.
It's thoroughly.
And you know, nobody knew what was gonna happen with COVID. I mean, I know that really killed rec too. Because before that, in 2019, Jill Ritzman took all the property tax away from rec because it was self-sufficient. Then COVID hit.
Right.
So just a lot of stuff, you know?
That's right. But you get the hand you're dealt with and you got to make, yeah. you either
I
make,
have a very
either
good
make chicken salad
you're
or chicken.
You're turning things around, so.
So, you know, hopefully by the end of this fiscal year, which is June 30th, you will see some of those things that I've talked about in place. If the board supports it and gives me permission, we're working with vendors and I think we can do it.
Okay, anybody else?
Yeah, real
Go
quick.
Ahead, Vicki.
Yeah, Vicki Jacobs, Cameron Park. I support what you're doing. The budget idea is wonderful. And since I've only been coming to these meetings since June, I guess, of last year, I don't have the history and all of the emotional involvement that other people have. I appreciate, Alan, that you listen to the community. I know you've gone and talked to people and you've heard us three here, but I appreciate that you are adapting to what you see the community needs from you in terms of transparency and information. So I appreciate that you've adapted and put a priority on that, particularly with the, because it's a lot of work to change your budget around and redo everything. So I appreciate that you're doing that, and I think it will help the district tremendously in whatever direction you go to in terms of fundraising, even if you do eventually decide to go for a tax increase of some sort, you will obviously greatly benefit by having the transparency of the information that's presented to the public. I think it will help clarify a lot of people's thinking. I know it will help mine, but I'm looking at what I'm advocating for here because I really am functioning with not enough information in terms of the budget to be able to point out, hey, why don't we do this instead of that or whatever. We just haven't had that information, so I think that's great. The other thing, I'll raise it again, Alan, but I think I've talked to you this, with you about this once. Are we sure that we have such overwhelming obligations to produce and provide certain things under the bond that couldn't be ameliorated a little bit for a district that is in financial distress?
Well, the district is in financial distress because the district established a third leg of this place without financing it. So,
I know, but you know.
Wait a second.
Yeah.
So, I've looked at what we're offering now, and we have because after COVID we have a very limited meals program. I've talked to them about expanding it to 5 days a week and doing other things. We don't charge for that. If they use the kitchen, we would have to charge. But just the use of the room, we don't charge for that. I have the seniors in here two, 3 days a week. We don't charge for that. That's part of compliance with the bond.
Okay.
The rec is part of compliance with the bond.
Right.
Those are required. And they have not carried their cost. We know that.
Right.
Despite what has been said before, the two of us and the two accounting clerks know that they didn't cover their cost.
Yeah.
You will see me changing the fees around here. We will have a resident and non-resident section because it's required. It's not there, but it is required.
Hallelujah. That's good.
And so we will have that in the fees. But the fees will be...
He's jumping ahead, though.
Oh, okay.
The fees will be sufficient.
We're gonna talk here.
The fees will be sufficient to the best we can for this year.
Right.
To cover our costs. We've looked at some of the others. Do you know that there's a place that has an annual pass for $800? Hmm. $800. Hmm. Well, we're not going to do that.
Yeah.
But when we get the pickleball courts, those will be admission by activity pass or $5. And anybody that cheats will be banned.
Can I ask you one more question? I've never understood the limited, well, I know what the limited service areas are, but I know that when that this district must, like Silver Springs, must work with the developer to say, hey, come with them. You're in our sphere of influence, so we can go ahead and provide to you LLADs and parks, and then your people that live in that area, I'm imagining, recreation will be considered actual in Cameron Park proper residents, whatever. So I know we get park impact fees that are done, what, at the beginning when they build, like a development fee, but then we get something in taxes from those homes?
If they're in our due, we do get some property tax. But here's the thing. We have $3 billion of taxable value in our district today. That's what it is. The county says, well, you can tax up to $13 million, but they don't let us do that. We can only tax $5.1 million because that's what the county gives us out of the property tax they collect. We spend more money supporting schools than any other district in this county. Our money goes to schools, doesn't go here. So the tax, you know, there's individual tax rated areas. Because of when we were established, a lot of ours are only 3% of what we get. We get 3%, El Dorado maybe 8, maybe 13 on the same exact thing of the property tax that they get. That's why they're fat, and so, we're not.
So my reason to bring this up is that to me, it has never made any sense why we have these limited service areas for purely LLADs, parks, or recreation, when Silver Springs is in rescue, Rasmussen is county fire, South Camp is not part of it, Crazy Horse is in county fire, because all of these boundaries were drawn back in the dark ages, you know, and your predecessors again didn't have the foresight to, we should have Emerald Meadows, we should have Crazy Horse, we should have so much that we don't have. So I don't understand why. I believe we get 16 cents on the dollar, tax dollars, and back in the day it worked, but it doesn't work now. And because this district expanded into these limited service areas, stretching your park department or maybe recreation by providing these services or LLADs is not really doing a lot of good overall, in my opinion. So I just, that's why I wondered what else we got on top of the initial park impact fees.
I don't particularly want the LLADs, but we can't get rid of them. And only two or three of them are self-supporting.
Right.
And when we do the distribution, we'll see whether those two or three are actually self-supporting.
Yeah.
Because we are going to show the actual cost. You can't do anything without a vote of that group. I mean, I can't turn the lights off. You know?
All right. Thank you. Okay, Director Scobie, any comments before we move on to the next item?
Well, let me see. Have we moved? Are we still on the going over the?
Yeah, we haven't.
We're still on item
the refinance.
That's correct.
Yeah, I'd already asked all my questions. That's right. We're out at public. So yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm great for. I have no further questions. I'm curious to see what the rest of the board has to say about it.
Yeah, and I'm good with it also. So moving on to item two, review and update of 2024 fees.
So I was going to carry this in. Unfortunately, there's a little bit more to it now that all the rest of this stuff is happening. I've been doing some research on other local CSDs, you know, within the areas. Kind of comparing what they offer and what we offer, comparing our rates to their rates. I started working on updating our fees that were brought to you in January because I was not involved with putting those fees together. In researching our policies, it actually states that the general manager is the person who kind of has the has the say on what how we set our fees. So I just moving forward, I as he said, there is a policy that also talks about how he sets those fees. There is a policy that states that we have to have a resident fee, non-resident fee, and that nonprofits get 25% discount and that we work with other government agencies. I do not know, because it was before my time, when I do know there was a resident, non-resident fee at some time here. I don't know why it went away, but that policy never changed. So for me, we need to update the fees to reflect what our policy states. So we will have a resident, non-resident fee. I also am going to propose I know we have an annual lake/pool pass. However, I wanna maybe make some more opportunities for like lap swim to have a punch card, to have pickleball be able to have those kind of maybe passes as well. With all of these amenities that we're looking to improve on and put in, we wanna make sure that our annual passes can include those amenities as well. But also help us to be able to, when we're looking at our revenues and everything, not only are we trying to make sure that we don't go to the public for additional money elsewhere on taxes, we need to make sure that we're putting away money for capital improvements in the future. So that's my goal. My goal is, with all of these things, to be able to recoup the money that we are currently spending, as well as putting a little bit away with all of these things for future improvements. So with that said, we're going to have to redo the gym. So making sure that we can encourage passes for those things as well. Our season passes, we're going to have an early bird, not only, a resident, non-resident, but we also want to offer an early, discount. If you're doing it early, this is what it's going to cost you. If you do it later, this is what's going to cost you. We want to give benefits to maybe Summer Spectacular. If you buy this annual pass, there's perks in the recreational programming that we have throughout the year that people will benefit from as well. So as I was getting into restructuring our current fees, I was noticing there were so many things that other agencies were offering that I want to be able to put pen to paper and offer those things as well. So I think we're going to bring the actual fee structure to the board rather than bringing it tonight, because I didn't have enough time to put all those wonderful, I didn't know that we were going to have all these things, so I didn't have the ability to We started on it, and then I started finding more things, and I was like, oh, this is a great idea. Why don't we offer this? So that's kind of why I've been working with recreation to also, as I'm setting fees, kind of figure out, can we do this? Is this something that's in? I don't want to overpromise to everybody and then not be able to provide them. So
the other thing we've done is, like in aquatics, we found there were like 10 to 15 different fees. But they weren't really different. They were just separated. It wasn't difference in value, it wasn't anything. We collapsed all that. We collapsed it down to three. But there is a clear demand for lap swim. And so we're looking at whether we can set 1 or 2 hours a day for lap swimming for a fee. You want to reserve a lane, you want to do that, okay, that's worth something. What are the other places do that, and they charge for it, because it's not your activity fee, you're reserving something for yourself, and there's a value in that. So we're trying to be comparable. What we also found was that what I was told when I allowed the fees to go forward in January wasn't correct, and so we're cleaning everything up.
Okay. Director Scobie, questions?
Yeah, a couple of comments. I feel like I'm reliving some fee restructuring back from when I started. So when it was my understanding that when we had a bunch of different types of fees, we had early bird fees, we had regular fees, we had discounted fees, we had combined fees, we had all this, I'll just say a snarly mess of different fees, of which it was my understanding that the software, it was challenging to get the software to function with these fees, and it was challenging to track them. And so the whole idea of having fewer fees was to save staff time and make it more just easier to manage, because it was just kind of out of hand. So I would just caution staff when they are doing this to not make, you know, 25 different fees and a whole lot of extra work. You know, the resident, non-resident sounds reasonable to me, but then, and maybe an early bird discount, but I'm just saying it can get hairy fast.
Well,
and my other the other thing is, there's two ways to address the fees. We're in charge of the policy, so we could actually change the policy to match our current fees, or vice versa. That doesn't make, you know, we should set the policy and then the fee should follow it. But it might be something to consider doing in the next fiscal year. We had a question come forward. Oh, I believe it was actually published in the paper, when they're saying, oh, look, the CSD did their fees, and they have no idea of what the expected increase of rent revenue will be. And I thought that was an interesting point. That might be some information we'd want to provide to our public, that when we are restructuring fees, you know, what are we expected to gain? It must be based on, you know, something tangible. So I guess on my thought, we need to look at that policy on how we set fees first, and then start making our fees match it. So I wouldn't be in support of bringing forward another fee restructure to the board. I would be in favor of bringing the policy forward to the board on how we want to set our fees. So those are my comments.
Okay, thank you. And so my question goes back to before, which was, we're redoing the contracts. What about the refund policy?
So currently the refund policy states that the general manager has oversight on refunds. However, that I feel like policies were not necessarily known. We've had a lot of turnover, right? So it's like you have general manager after general manager after general manager, and there's so much turnover that for them to get policy and be able to enforce policy has been a little difficult. Now we have a general manager that's getting to know policy, and we have, you know, getting everybody to talk to each other and setting that standard on, we're not, you know, on refunds, you know, and that's part of our structure, right? So we just redid contracts that says if you're going to have a refund or if you're going to give a discount on your class, it needs to be in writing, and we need to have it before the class is offered so that we can make sure that we agree with, you know, said refund. We're not just going to give someone a refund because they decided to go out of town last minute. So we did put that in the contracts for our contract instructors. And so moving forward, we are restructuring. So like with summer camp, we're going to make sure that there's something in place that, you know, if someone signs up for summer camp, we're not just going to be giving, if you decide to go on vacation last minute, unfortunately, you know, if we have somebody to take the place and we don't have a full class, then maybe we could look at, you know, letting someone else take the place. But if a class isn't full and we're losing someone, we don't necessarily want to just give that refund if we can't replace what we're losing. So we are looking at all of those things that we've done in the past and trying to get back to, yes, we want to make the community happy, but we also, you know, we also have to look at, we're providing that service and we're holding that spot for you. And if we can't fill it, maybe, you know, you get a partial refund or, you know, something. But it everything's going to now be funneling through management and the general manager. We're going to have things more streamlined.
Yes. And refunds were made that were inappropriate as far as we're concerned, their current management's concerned. But one of the things on these fees that I'm concerned about, I take your point, Madam President, on a policy, but this is March, and if you want that kind of review and you want to bless it, I would probably call a special meeting, because I don't want to lose an extra month when people start signing up and we don't have cost recoverable fees in place. Because the fees that were done in January do not recover our costs, and some of them do, but a lot of them don't. And we can't afford to live with that for another year. So we'll try and have the policy up for you, but we would also try and have exemplary fees at the same meeting, or we would ask for a special meeting so that we're not going to late April when people will have been buying things and we lose out.
Okay, thank you. Putting it out to the public, any question about the fee restructuring or comment?
The only question I have is, are there considerations for seniors versus non-seniors?
Yeah, there is a senior
term,
discount.
So I heard discounts, but I didn't know.
No, seniors are accounted for. Okay. We charge them double.
Okay. Yeah, exactly, because they're on Medicare.
Yep, right.
One real quick thing. I don't know if you know this, Alan. This was a meeting before you were on board. One of the swim teams, and frankly, I'm sorry, I don't remember which of the two it was, only 35% of the kids who participate on the swim team live in Cameron Park. And I always thought that that should be taken into consideration when setting the fees for the swim teams. I don't have anything against the swim teams, you know, but it is a benefit that's being used by families from Pollock Pines down to, you know, Eldorado Hills, I'm guessing. And I think that should be accounted for.
That's a part of our restructure. Aquatics teams are going to be removed from our fee structure, and we're going to be doing something separate.
We're going to be doing them by MOU.
Good. Okay. Yeah.
Another local CSD just did something like that too. So that's where I'm finding all of those things.
And I also want them directly liable for damage.
Yes.
In the MOU.
Listen, I'm freaking out enough about the tennis person who's charging, you know, because it looks like we're sponsoring that tennis teacher as it currently exists.
Well, I will be checking with counsel, but I want to just lock the courts until that's done. And I'm told by Parks, not sure we have the authority to do that. Well, policy is you got to cover your direct indirect cost. We're not. So I'm just going to ask counsel, but I want to lock it off. We did that on the basketball, and that was had a salutary effect.
Yeah.
We got 2/3 of the money we're owed. We were on our way to get the rest. And, you know, you have to do a little tough love.
Fiscal responsibility.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Director Scobie, was there anything else?
Yeah, so Alan, I hear you about wanting to collect fees, get them restructured correctly, and I want to look at the policy. So you're talking about a special meeting. I guess I could be convinced to have the policy and your fees come forward at the board meeting. Would you have that ready?
We hope to, and that's, let me put it that way, that's the goal. Based on what you've said, that would be my goal. I don't know if
okay.
I don't know if we can do it yet, but that's the goal.
So here's my question.
Okay.
Are you wanting to see the current policy to see if it needs to be updated? Because I don't feel like the policy needs to be updated. I feel like we need to align what we're doing with the current policy.
Yeah.
So do you want to see the policy along with the fees to see why we're doing them the way we are?
Absolutely. We need okay. justification of why we're going back and changing the fees again.
Yes, I can do that.
And while you're at it, if there's things that need to be adjusted, you're saying you're doing a bunch of research and so forth, maybe you would have some recommendations for us and that we could actually have a little more robust policy if we're going to be reviewing it, if the board's going to be reviewing it anyway, that would be the time to put in other ideas. I mean, one thing that came to mind is a minimum refund. We just don't issue refunds if it's $35 or less. I mean, it's not worth staff time. It's not...
Cost more than that to
I mean, that's
it.
Barely lunch these days.
Yeah.
Certainly not lunch for two. So.
No, you're quite right with that.
Some of
those. Cost us more to refund it than we were refunding.
Yep.
Yeah. So those are my comments.
And we will double check the computer system to make sure that it can respond to what we're talking about.
That was, I didn't have anything else. So we will move to staff updates and the check register review.
Do you have any questions?
Well, I, no, because I was going to ask about the refunds and we already did that. So Director Scobie, did you have any questions on the check register?
Yeah, I did. So I just, my first question is, it looks like we are paying $920 a month for our accounting software, and we just talked about the accounting software. So I guess what I'd like to do is put a bug in staff's ear to make sure that we're still happy with the Abila app. I was here when we changed from the old one to the new one, and it looks like the monthly subscription price has gone up substantially since we bought it. So I'm just throwing it out there. It's, you know, $10,000 a year just to use the software, and I just wanted to make sure we're getting the value for it. If it's still great, that's fine. I just wanted to mention that.
Yeah, Abila is not the software we were talking about. It was RecTrack.
Well, I'm looking at the check register, and it says Abila was paid $920, and
okay.
It says accounting software for March. So I interpreted that to mean it was a monthly fee.
Yeah, no, the software that Alan is talking about is RecTrack. It's not Abila. is a different side of that.
I understand. My question is, are we getting our value out of Abila for paying $920 a month?
Okay. I would say we are, but I'm not sure. We're trying to get the two softwares to talk to each other.
Yeah, I would not want to make any software changes right now until we get things handled a little bit better. If we want to think about a software change, think about it next year.
Fair enough. As I'm saying, it's. I remember the fees being in the 500 range, and now they're 900 range, so I just wanted to bring that up as one thing I noticed. The other thing I noticed is that our contract and closing of our parks, is that 4,000 a month? I see two entries of 4,000, one for December and one for January.
Yes,
yes.
Ma'am.
And both Christina and I are concerned about that. One of the things that's being done is to lock the bathrooms at night to prevent the homeless from trashing them. The other is closing the parks at night, and so, I mean, we're very short-staffed in parks, and you know, this is overtime. But now that we have 2 months of experience, we're going to sit down with Mike and see if we got a better way to do this.
Yeah, because it seems to me for $48,000 a year, we could just hire our own person for that, cover their It'd be a part-time employee. We don't even pay that much.
I don't disagree
with that. I'm glad to hear you're looking at it.
I don't disagree with you about that.
And my other question was, it's more of a comment. It looks like we had a Brighton Energy bill for the community center of only $1,600 and one for the fire station 89 for $546, which I thought sounded pretty good. Hopefully that means that we didn't have huge PG&E bills, but I did not map that. Has there been any progress in getting a hold of Brighton, Alan?
I have tried several times. I've literally thought about driving over there and just walking up to the damn door and knocking, since they don't respond to me. I will tell you, I've thought of one thing about our solar system. There is a way to make it pay better, but I don't know that for this place it's cost effective. And I had a discussion with a couple people in the industry over the last week, and the way they're now pitching solar systems is with the battery, so that you are not putting that energy back into the network during the day. You're putting it into your own battery, and so you are connected to the grid, but you are minimally using the grid. I think that could wind up being a cost-effective way to do things. Batteries tend to be very expensive still, but it's something that's worth looking at, since you already have the system, on whether we could get a better price. Because right now, my view is, long-term, you'll save money because you've got a standard kilowatt price the whole time of 19 cents. Per kilowatt hour, and over time you'll save money. You won't save what you thought you would save, but you will definitely save money. But if we could direct it into a battery, and the battery could be cost effective, then we could really save potentially a lot more. I like the idea, and I'm going to explore it. I'm not sure we can afford it, but batteries are getting very good over the last 10, 15 years. Let's put it this way. They had batteries that would last for 30 years ago, because I knew the chief scientist for NASA and I found out about batteries, but they didn't put them on the market because they couldn't make enough money, because it wouldn't be redone. So what we've got out there now is starting to get to the point where something where you have your own battery in your home or in your business, because it's the way to counter what the electrics have done in California and taking the value out of solar. This could put the value back. And so I'm going to look at it. I have a lot of experience at it, and I'll see if I think it's good for us.
Okay. Well, I look forward to seeing that analysis, and you might be able to leverage the fact that we're a emergency shelter and so forth too, and a power safety shutoff shelter, in order to get the batteries installed. The other question thought I had is that I believe in our contract with Brighton, there may be provisions on certain type of reporting they're supposed to provide for their part of the agreement. And if they're not, then they're in breach of contract. And maybe we just need to send them a letter from our lawyer to get our stupid report, and then charge them for that letter too.
All right.
It's important that we track our investment. That's what I'm after. I want to make sure that we are tracking as estimated, or at least understand why if we are not.
Okay. Anything else?
So that's why I brought up Brighton. That's all I had on the check register.
Okay. And I had my questions answered, so taking it out to the public, was there any comment on the check register? Bringing it back. Any more comments before we move on to the next item? Okay, hearing nothing. Finance office monthly report.
Well, it's all of the same stuff from last month, working on getting the policy for our 24-25 audit, or sorry, 23-24 audit, so that we can continue moving forward. I am also board clerk and am also supervising recreation staff and researching fees and overseeing the MOUs that are being put together, working with the contracts on that side, as well as working with the fire department on a couple contracts that they're working on. So yeah, there's a lot going on. I was gonna do this in matters to and from, but please bear with me. You know, I am trying to get recordings up. I'm trying to make sure everything is on the website that needs to be on the website.
Yeah, redoing the website.
And I'm
too.
Restructuring the website because I'm trying to make things more user friendly, as well as I want everyone to see what we have. So I'm working with the park superintendent to get pictures of all of our park amenities so we can get those put on our website, as well as working with staff to get pictures of staff. I don't know if you've seen our website, but now we have a staff page that has everybody's name, title, at least most of our full-time people, so that if you're gonna come into the office, you'll know who's the office staff. If you're going to our parks, you'll know who our parks, since we have a lot of new people.
Don't let your children see my picture.
Oh, they saw it, and they're not scared. So,
you know, Christina, I saw it too, and I can't find our historical minutes and documents.
So minutes and everything else should be under governance. It should be on the actual board meeting page. If not, it would be under transparency. I haven't removed anything. I've just, our board meetings are not in a board meeting tab anymore. The board meetings are under governance, because that, once again, I was looking at other districts to see where they should be.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't really be its own separate tab. It's under the governance, which is under, I think, About Us.
About Us, yeah, I just found it. So I was poking around in there. I was like, oh my gosh, I can't find anything anymore.
Yeah, I'm trying to make it easier. Honestly, I have so many things. I'm trying to just, like, if I get overwhelmed with one thing, take a break and look at something different. Because numbers can get to be a lot. Just bear with me and be patient, because there is a lot going on right now.
Yeah, we're
to get
even,
everything done.
We're even, in aid of our CCRs and other things, I'm going to be retaining a high school student that's going to junior college next year and who does what I consider to be very professional video, to do a video look around the park and put that up on the website too. If you go to Mountain House District, you'll see what they have done, and we can do something similar, and it's very impressive. He does excellent work. And it's not very costly when we have somebody like that do it, but his technical skills are very good.
Excellent. So, Director Scobie, any questions?
No, that's it. Thank you.
And I didn't have anything either, so I'm taking it out to the public. Any questions about the Finance Monthly Report?
The only, it was difficult finding the agenda tonight. I'm so used to the Public Meetings tab and how it was all laid out. It was difficult. So I realize that you're trying to find some commonality with other agencies under governance and et cetera. I don't know if it would be important to put something on the front web page that says this: the page has been redesigned, things aren't in their normal place.
It'll always be at the bottom of the page if you scroll all the way down to the bottom. But what I'll do is on the right hand side, there's a quick links. And so maybe I'll put on the right hand side, we have Facebook and Instagram right there. We don't need social media right there. So maybe I'll put board meetings right there on that right hand side so you can find it.
Or,
yeah.
board
meetings and then committee meetings.
However it was named.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be useful. I like Brad, I struggled finding it.
Yeah.
And the historical stuff is important because people do go back, myself included, and reference it.
Yeah, yes. I think that's a good spot to do.
Any feedback? If you guys have feedback on how you want to see things restructured, I will do my best. I'm just trying to simplify things and make it easier.
The webmaster.
I'm trying.
It's always wise to stay on top, and I commend you guys. Everything you're doing is limited staff. So.
And sometimes I'll move something, and I'll be, wait, no, that's not right, and I'll move it somewhere else. So I'm any feedback is definitely welcome. It's all appreciated.
Okay, thank you. Okay, if there's nothing else, items for future committee meetings. We have the EDSWAC report out, update credit card policy, RFP for auditor, the fiscal year 23-24 third quarter budget to actuals, underfunded LLADs, and SB 1983 ordinance. Did we have anything else for future budget committee meetings?
Don't we need to keep the auditor for one more year and then go out?
Yeah, that's the current one that we're doing, though, so I'll be bringing in an RFP soon.
Okay, so anything on that column other than what we've already got there? Going. Okay. And we didn't have, items to forward to the board of directors, the policies and the fees?
Yeah.
Okay. Was there anything else?
Are you going to get feedback from the remaining board members about the restructuring of the budget?
Let me see. I've talked to one. I've talked to two of the three. I need to talk to the third.
Okay, that's fine. I mean, you're our general manager. You make these decisions on the district's behalf. It's just nice to not shock anybody.
No, I don't think anybody will find this shocking.
Okay. All right. So if there's nothing else on item six, ahead.
You know, it's not down there, but, you want to raise the issue about Parks and Rec Committee?
No, we'll talk about that.
All right.
Because that's not a budget thing.
I
did items for future committees. Sorry, we'll back up. I do need to put on there the 24-25 budget will be coming to you. We'll start that next month.
24-25 budget. Yep. Okay. And will the other audit be coming? Well, no, that wouldn't go to the board. So never mind. Okay. All right. So matters to and from committee members and staff. Is there anything, Director Scobie?
I was really sketched if this meeting was actually going to work for me, if I could be able to hear, but I can. So I don't know what you did, but it was very nice. And I'm just so disappointed nobody showed up here.
Well, we had
That's a joke.
You don't have your granddaughter there with you? Isn't it granddaughter?
Oh, my grandson. My grandson's here.
There you go. You have your grandbaby, so there you go.
And we had our four regulars show up.
Yeah.
And those are the people who are interested, and and we get suggestions from them and questions, and that's what they should be doing.
So you're in Humboldt, I'm going up there this weekend. It seems to be a popular spot. But other than that, I've got nothing. Okay, so that was everything. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Seconded, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay, the meeting is adjourned.